What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everyone. This is Kevin Scarrett, and I am with Amy Zander as usual. Amy, how are you doing?
I am doing great today, Kevin. A little bit hot, a little bit sweaty, but otherwise I'm good.
Yay. It's Memorial Day. The weather is turning and it's starting to feel and like summer. So how was your past weekend this last week?
Yeah, Memorial Day was great. So Saturday was my birthday. It's always fall, summer around Memorial Day, which is awesome. And we went camping and it was nice. It was good. How about you?
Yeah, just kind of casual. As you know, I am building a block wall around our new driveway and, you know, major construction in the area, lots of dust. But oh my gosh, it's so exciting to have that kind of work done. It's just killing my back and have to hire some kids to help out. But it's kind of cool to watch the progress as we're making it. So that's kind of nice.
Absolutely.
So, okay, Memorial Day. I know we're supposed to be mindful of the people who gave their lives in the military, but with most people on Memorial Day, it's kind of sadly become kind of a kickoff to summer kind of thing, which is awesome, which is good, right? And it's going to generally involve outdoor activities and, you know, maybe possibly the drinking of some beer, some barbecue action, right?
Yeah.
Good times with friends and neighbors. Would you agree with this
assessment? Yeah, for sure. We always do something like that. Yeah, we always pour a little beer out and do a toast to our family members who served and people we've lost in the military, too. I
mean,
we do make sure that we do that, yeah.
Yeah, right. But that it seems like the holidays become more of the hanging out with friends.
Yeah, you said, the kickoff to summer kind of thing. Yep.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So it just so happens, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think that this month is the neighbor archetype month at Zedia Media. Is that correct?
It is, absolutely.
So
yeah.
I thought with all of this hanging out with friends and you focusing on the neighbor at Zedia that we should talk about the neighbor archetype today. What do you think?
Yes, let's do it. I love the neighbor.
Yeah. So, you know, we're pretty upbeat and easily excitable. At least I am in our podcast.
No, I know.
So we're going to take a chill pill today. Take it easy. Kickbacks, chillax. Are you ready?
Yes, I can do that, I think.
Okay. I will sit back and casually listen to you launch us by talking about the sub-archetypes. How about if you do that first?
Yeah, sure. So way back in the beginning when we started this podcast shindig, we did an episode each on all the archetypes just in general. So if you want a refresher of the neighbor archetype, go back and listen to that one. But just as you would suspect, the neighbor in general is all about everybody's included and making people feel welcome and kind of like a big backyard barbecue kind of thing. There are two basic flavors of the neighbor, and one of them takes up probably 80 to 90% of the companies that choose the neighbor archetype. And the first is simply called the neighbor sub-archetype. So yeah. It's all about easygoing, layback ideas, removing chaotic ideas and processes is the core concept.
Yeah.
So if you kind of think about that neighbor in your neighborhood who's always like, hey, come over and have a beer, or yeah, you can borrow the lawnmower, you know, that kind of stuff. Either you are that neighbor or you know that neighbor, right?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so, and this is the one that most people gravitate to when they think of the neighbor.
And just to clarify, some people have pointed out, isn't that a little confusing? The idea that we have a main archetype called the neighbor, and this was the idea that was, it was called the everyman, or the regular guy, it was everyman by Carl Jung.
Or every woman.
Or every woman. Yeah, and we don't like it that because of that, right? The gender specificity. And then Marx and Pearson, the psychologist who wrote the book The Hero and the Outlaw, they called it the regular guy or regular gal. Again, gender issues. And so we just said, you know what? Neighbor encompasses the exact same idea. So we call the main archetype the neighbor, but the sub-archetype we're also calling the neighbor because it's the identical idea. Right. So just to clarify for the listeners, both the main archetype and the sub-archetype are the neighbor.
Right, just so we have a way to break it out between the two. Absolutely. Right. Good point.
Yeah.
The second sub-archetype is called the social networker. So, Kevin, mm-hmm. I'm sure that you have friends and family or neighbors that just seem to know everyone, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I know when you lived down here and we lived near each other, we went to a lot of networking events, and that's why, you know. Yeah. Met you that way, and you just were one of those people that also just seemed to know everybody.
Yeah, I would say that I would classify myself as an extrovert, but when it comes to, you know, friend relationships, I'm pretty focused, but I do get to know a lot of people, and especially Francie, my wife, is super, super connected. And
right.
Yeah. Yeah,
she's social for sure. You probably guys knew all your new neighbors in the first week and...
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know. But I could just,
Cinnamon bread and you would do that.
Cinnamon bread. Nice. But these people are usually, you know, really likable and they seem to know everyone and everyone you run into seems to know them. And this archetype is all about your network of people, your connections, your relationships. So organizations with this sub archetype know how to work a crowd and build lots of good, strong relationships.
Okay, so the two ideas are being laid back and just having lots of connections.
I think too, like having a good vibe, like being approachable, being friendly, people want to be around you.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Bringing people together, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, like the host and hostess kind of thing. So I have a client that I work with called Breakwater Sales. They're a new company.
Mm-hmm.
And they are they're like a sales company.
Okay.
And they adopted the neighbor archetype, and they named Breakwater Sales for a couple of reasons. The owner really loves boating in the water. He's into a lot of he's got boats and things. So Breakwater kind of taps into that. And then also we were talking about, you know, trying to find a name of his company that had something to do with the water and boating, even though his company is not directly related to boating necessarily. But I was like, well, a breakwater, you know, kind of shelters the land and protects the boats and the people. And that's kind of what you do. Like when you go work side by side with a company, you're selling for them, you're bringing them new business, you're helping them with their marketing. It's kind of what you're doing, you know, and you're protecting them and building them for a better future.
And this discussion happened after they made the decision of neighbor?
No, it was all at the same time.
Oh, it was all at the same time. Okay.
Yeah. So the name, the neighbor, it all kind of happened organically together.
Excellent. Okay.
And so when he went to have somebody work on his logo, he basically told them this whole story about why his company's named Breakwater, what that means, the neighbor archetype and all this stuff. And this logo company was like, wow. We have never had better information from a client before.
Amazing.
And that, you know, the logo company hadn't ever heard of brand archetypes before. And so they were like, this is amazing. Tell me more. And so he just, you know, he relayed that to me and it was awesome. And that just is another reason why brand archetypes is really powerful and easy to understand and will help your business in so many ways that you might not even realize at first.
I love that story because it's, because we're like going on like 18 years since I first tapped into that. You know, it's been at least 15. I gotta calculate when the very first time I picked up the Hero and the Outlaw. But it's been full immersion ever since then, and it's been so long. And the number of times I hear that exact story, and really for the listeners, the story is, if you take this approach of using archetypes as the basis of your brand strategy, the creative people in your world, you know, the designers and the writers and the, you know, content creators and the developers, everybody who does anything creative for you loves this stuff. It's so much easier to be creative when you have this powerful focus. And so that's a great story.
Yeah.
You know, and from a creative group that had never encountered it and immediately saw the value of it.
Yeah. Well, in full disclosure, this company and this person I'm talking about is my brother.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Marty.
Oh, Breakwater. Yeah, Breakwater. Not the
Breakwater is my brother. The new company. Yeah.
I didn't realize that. Yeah.
Marty. And so he and I talk a lot about this stuff, but it also really helped him to form his why. You know, that question that why am I in business? Why do I do what I do? And you know, and he ultimately is the ultimate host. Like, you know, he's the friendly guy, the goods. He's not one of those schmarmy sales guys. Like, he really is.
Yeah, I can see Marty as a regular guy easily.
Yeah, totally so guy. It helped him with all that. So, and forming your why, we've talked about this before, is super important. So if you know what your archetype is, it's even more easy, to
everything should dovetail. Right?
Yep.
See how I put in a woodworking reference there? That's that's my nagging.
That's nice though. Dovetail. Yeah.
Okay, so good stuff. Subarchetypes, got to understand those because it's going to be part of your selection process. But to really market any of the archetypes, for us to market the neighbor, we have to have also a good handle on the big ideas. So let's go over those. So I'll start. The first big idea that you can infuse into your marketing is the idea of just being easygoing. If you are easygoing, nothing's going to ruffle your feathers, right? You know, there's really a good reason to stress out about stuff. You know, stress doesn't, being all wigged out, it doesn't help anything, right?
Especially in business. I mean, I know there are stressful things, but I don't think, I always say, there's never any reason to yell at anybody in business.
Yeah. Why can't we all just get along?
Right.
Yeah. So if you plan things properly, being stressed out, what you're saying, Amy, is it doesn't really help things, right? So it doesn't mean that you're inactive, you know, being easygoing. To the contrary, this state of being doesn't just magically happen. It takes a lot of thought. A lot of planning.
A lot of really good meds. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Good. And your good neighbors will share them, right? Yeah.
Yoga. No,
right. Good neighbors, they spend a lot of time and energy creating things in a way that make them easy to understand, easy to absorb, easy to take action on, removing all those complicated bits and chaos.
Right.
So by taking the time to remove all this scary and complex stuff, everyone can just relax. Kick back, mix up a couple of mojitos, sit on a beach. That sounds like fun to me. So, what big ideas do you want to throw into the mix here?
Let's see. Let me get into my neighbor's state of mind. Okay.
You're doing your mantra thing. Yeah,
mantra. right? I think the next big concept to talk about would be to remove chaos. So... also, you know, being laid back, but to actually remove chaos from people's lives. So make things easier for them.
Right.
And yeah, I think one of the worst things that can happen to an organization adopting the neighbor is to have things spin like chaotically out of control and suddenly become difficult, complex, or hard to understand, which sometimes happens if a company grows really fast.
Right.
Or, you know, changes direction. So to just remember that, even if you're like, you know, silently screaming inside, outwardly to your clients, you still remain that calm, cool, like place of refuge for them. Yeah. So
if you look out and you see your neighbor running around his backyard with his hair on fire and his underwear, you know, there's something desperately wrong.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, way too much chaos going on over there. Yeah. It's not neighborly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So whatever you do, you remove the complexity from everything.
Yeah.
For your clients. So like if you have a large staff of customer support people compared to everyone else in your industry, you might have a complexity problem.
Yeah, you got to answer too many questions, right?
Yeah, exactly. If people are having, and people generally don't need to call customer support unless there's something broken or they don't understand something. So if your clients are having a lot of issues understanding or getting through to you, then you have a brand issue.
Right.
And if you use a lot of jargon and lingo, you might be too confusing too. That's another really good one. Just keep everything, you know, simple and don't talk down to people, you know, that kind of thing.
So let's say you find a competitor who is using lots of jargon and lingo, because some people just kind of, they think that it makes them feel or look, appear smart or, you know, with it or experienced, or it doesn't really matter. They just love to throw out that jargon. If you have a competitor who's doing that, wow, what an opportunity just not just not do that, but focus in on the fact that you're not doing it. Say, you know what? A lot of my competitors do this, and you know, it's just way too confusing. We don't need to do that. I'm just going to make it easy for you. Yeah, big opportunity.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay.
So, what's out? What's another big idea?
So similarly, you know, you're talking about jargon and lingo. It's a good segue to the next big idea. I would say the next big idea that all neighbors need to do is to be easy to understand. You know, being laid back is great. In removing the chaos for other people, you know, that allows them to lay back, be laid back. But you also have to be easy to understand. So if you speak and write probably about a sixth grade level, you know, that sounds like, wow, sixth grade, that's, you're talking down to people. No, actually, if you write at a sixth grade level, you're not going to have any problems of not being understood. You know, when I tell some people this, their concern is that, you know, it's going to be sound unsophisticated. It's going to be too simplistic. It's just absolutely not the case. Most newspapers purposely write at about a sixth grade level because it's super fast and easy to read. You don't confuse one. You don't slow them down. You don't lose meaning, right? Mm-hmm. So where the average American adult has a vocabulary of around 25 to 35,000 words, the average sixth grader may only have a vocabulary of around 10,000 words. Hmm. But that's plenty enough. That 10,000 words is plenty enough to communicate just about any idea, even technical and scientific ideas. So you don't have to use all the big fancy stuff, right?
Right.
So don't eschew a bombastic vernacular, but also obviate a pretentious or overly lavish lexicon.
Ooh.
I know, I had to write that one. I had to work on that
one
a little bit.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, that's great. But I was just, as you were talking, I was thinking, like, if you are a company, though, that does have some terms and jargon and stuff that you just can't get away from using because it's part of your industry, there's a lot of things you can do to make them more friendly. Like if you're writing a blog post or have a glossary on your website or you know, have a little rollover that explains what it is or whatever. If you have to use certain terms, just make sure, you know, like for instance, sometimes when I'm talking in marketing and there's some terms I use all the time that I just feel like everyone knows, like I say SEO. And people, a lot of people are like, what's that? I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. You know? And I try really hard not to just assume everyone knows what SEO means.
Mm-hmm. Well, another simple thing is to get used to building in an explanation. Remember, the idea here is to make things easy to understand. So if I say, if in my description, I train myself to say, well, you know, to drive traffic to your website, you have to implement a process called a search engine optimization. And you say it slowly and clearly. And you say, which people in the industry call simply SEO, the acronym. So search engine optimization is called SEO. Now that you've really thoroughly explained it clearly, which is the idea, you don't need to avoid the phrase anymore. They know what SEO is. Yeah. That's so just, you know, explanations are a beautiful thing for the neighbor archetype.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
So what else do you got?
Let's see. Well, one of the next big ideas is to build relationships with the neighbors, for sure. So a good neighbor isn't good all by themselves in a cabin out in the middle of the woods. You can't be a neighbor like that. They have to have actual neighbors. And a good neighbor is someone you generally like a lot. Yeah. So if you put a lot of your time and energy into building like strong relationships, it'll go a long way to cementing all the big ideas in this archetype. But if you don't build strong relationships, your ability to find success with all the other ideas here goes way down. Right. So you can't just be friendly, but, you know, not really talk to people. That doesn't really work. It's got to go together, right?
Because it comes off as superficial and, you know, inauthentic.
Yeah,
and
fake. Yeah, that's plastic. True. Yeah.
Which is the opposite of the neighbor. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So the concept of high touch customer service is generally found in the mother archetype and also here. In the neighbor, for sure.
Yeah.
Because it's important to relationships.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So let me jump in with the next one. Figuring out how you're going to pick your imagery and how you're going to adjust your marketing to this archetype concept, right? Mm-hmm. I would suggest that your imagery for the neighbor archetype needs to include people. Yeah. Lots and lots and lots of people. People love looking at pictures of other people because they can relate to some of them, or they can relate to their activities or the situation that they're in. And when they see the reactions on the faces and the body gestures of those people, they assimilate those ideas, right? So using people in your imagery, in your marketing, is a really good thing. So they should generally be smiley, happy people, because that reinforces, you know, this is easy and fun and, you know, all the ideas that you're trying to convey. And they can be active, but they shouldn't be stressed out active, right? You know, let's say we take a pic of two people, you know, riding their bikes through a park. You know, that's awesome. That's okay. But if you had this two people riding bikes battling it out in the Tour de France, maybe not so much, right? That's a little bit too intense, way too much energy for the laid back neighbor, right? So background images should evoke feelings of calm and simplicity, right? You can't go wrong with nature, trees, you know, water, open sky, all that stuff. And if you consider the big ideas that we listed earlier, let's say you're the owner of a local used bookshop. You know, let's use that as an example. It would be better to show a person kicked back in a big comfy recliner, you know, reading a book, than showing row after row of 15-foot high shelves filled with books. Just the idea of overwhelming with something, ooh, that's really impressive, that's not part of the neighbor. But showing a real live human being kicked back and relaxing, enjoying a book, that's in the pocket, right?
Absolutely. And I went to a really fantastic seminar on LinkedIn and how to make your LinkedIn profile better.
Uh-huh.
And they talked about the difference between having a very serious headshot where you're not smiling, mm-hmm. and a headshot that's a little bit more friendly, big smile, you know, that kind of thing. And so if you're the neighbor archetype, you really want to make sure that you and your staff as well, mm-hmm. are, you know, all the pictures you show on your website are of you guys smiling, more casual, mm-hmm. you know, not so much in like buttoned up business suits, but more like Friday casual wear, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Handshakes, that kind of thing, show that stuff, which is really good.
Me not in my goth outfit. That would be bad.
Goth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Goth are people too.
Yeah. Okay. So color, you know, more visual stuff with your marketing. Unless it's just an accent color, I would try to avoid super saturated neon colors. They're just too energetic for the archetype. And I wouldn't go with completely flat, you know, black and white colors. You could probably get away with that. You'd have to be pretty careful, but just medium tones of just about any hue. There's lots of variety of possibilities here. Because you're not really, you know, locked into any specific color. Just try not to go too energetic, right? And of course, Amy, since I did the visuals, I'm going to assume that you're going to want to jump in here with a bunch of words, possibly.
Absolutely,
of
yes.
Of course.
Words are my jam. Yeah. So all the words that pop into your head when you think of what it means to be a good neighbor, things like agreeable, generous,
yeah.
grounded, easygoing, welcoming, sincere, let's see, I'm flipping through my thing here,
yeah,
earnest, mm-hmm. amicable, I like that word, that might not be a sixth grade level word though,
yeah.
Friendly, humble, that kind of stuff, you get the idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's give some examples. So if you go to Brand Archetypes and find your way to the neighbor archetype page. Up in the menu, there's a drop-down listing for all the archetypes, and go to the neighbor. You will find a handful of videos at the bottom of that page. Of course, watch them all, because they're all kind of awesome, but pay particular attention. There is a 1990s Folgers coffee commercial. Do you remember this one, Amy?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you think of Folgers coffee, you know, it's what is it? What's their tagline? With Folgers in your cup. Da-da. I'm just, the jingle's going through my head. It just,
yeah.
Make note of the concept, you know, morning coffee. The models that they pick to be in the commercial, the lighting, you know, like, you know, morning sunlight coming through a window,
The cinematography is, you know, pay attention to that. You know, it's little slow motion pans and, you know, beans pouring out and steam coming up off a cup, you know, off of the mug. And, you know, so pay attention to all the, you know, not just watch it, but pay attention to all the little bits and decision making that went into how they made this commercial. Because when you do that, when you analyze it to that level, you're going to pick out a lot of stuff. You know, listen to the words, you know, make a note of the pace that they're recording it, the, you know, the story that's being told, you know. So what I'm asking you to do is analyze the commercial. When you look at this commercial, you know, it's really a great example. Don't just look at it superficially. Take a deep dive in thinking about it. Tear it apart. Break it down. Why did they do this? And what if they would have done that? And do this analysis. And with this one particular commercial, I'm going to, you know, suggest that you're going to find it's an awesome example. You're going to learn so much about how to convey the all of these big ideas that we've just been talking about. So, and you can do that with any commercial, by the way.
I thought you were going to say, once you watch this commercial, you're going to want a cup of coffee.
Well, I'm actually, you know, taking sips off of my Folgers coffee, like, right coffee. Here. Yeah. And I don't know what it is, but I like Folgers the best too. So I do buy Folgers. So when you analyze great stuff from other people, you know, I'm not saying that if you analyze every single commercial that's ever created, that you're going to get a lot out of it. I mean, not all commercials are great, but, you know, we're trying to collect on these pages some really good ones. So definitely you can analyze all of the ones that are in brandarchetypes.com.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, for our listeners who've been following us for a while or really been diving into this brand archetype process, you probably have noticed that once you start recognizing and seeing it, you kind of see it everywhere.
Yeah. And you recognize the bad stuff because that's just as obvious as the good stuff, right?
True. I think one major big concept I want to throw out here right before we wrap up, and I know we talked about it in the first episode we did about the general neighbor episode, but trust is also a big concept,
yeah,
which goes with that customer service. And we always like to differentiate. There's like the trust because you know them, mm-hmm, and have experience with them and they're easygoing and that kind of thing, which is a little bit different than the trust from the guru, which you trust a guru because of their background and education and experience and, you know, credentials, which is a different reason to trust somebody. So the neighbor is all about, you know, trust us because you know us. We're just like you, you know.
Yeah. The mother has a lot of trust because of the same kind of, you know, feelings that you have for your own mother. You know, you trust your parents and your family, right? So that's a third different kind of trust. But yeah, holy cow, I can't believe that we missed the trust.
We didn't miss it. We just threw it in at the end.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You just did it. You just did
it.
Yeah,
just
it was fully planned out. Yeah. Okay. Right. So, yeah, give us a wrap up.
Yeah. So if you are thinking about the neighbor brand or want to know more or have some great examples of a neighbor brand, give us a call. Maybe after you take a nap or chill out or have a beer in the backyard with your buddy or whatever, but let us know. We love to talk about this stuff, of course, and follow us on all the social media at Brand Archetypes.
Excellent. Okay. Thanks, Amy. And we will talk to you next week.
All right. See you later, Kevin.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.